And we hope and trust that you'll come back and be with us here at O'Neill every opportunity that you have. What a grand thing it is to be able to worship God. We love you. Appreciate very much your being here today. Think about the time when we must die over there after we've passed the valley of the shadow of death. What a wonderful thing it'd be to be together, to sing praises to God, and do His will. Matt Burns will be our speaker tonight. Be sure to come back and hear Matt. Good preacher. Caroline, I was so happy. I know you folks, Mom and Dad is happy too. Boy, when you think about somebody being baptized, isn't it grand? And now, of course, she's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 of them, those young girls. Isn't that wonderful? We're just so happy. And, of course, Jericho was baptized about 2 weeks ago. And if you're here today and you need to obey the gospel of Christ, we hope that you will not hesitate. We have visitors with us today. Even the newlyweds are back. Glad to see them. It's good to see everybody here today. Before I go to preaching, I want to sing my song, God is So Good. Just stay seated. You don't have to stand up. I think you'll be able to sing a little bit loud if you're sitting back, relaxed. Let's see if we can do that, would we? God is so good. Oh, yeah, that's good. Come on. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus. Good. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What did he do? He saved my soul, He saved my soul, He saved my soul, and He made me whole. What will I do? I praise His name. Everybody, I praise His name. Good. I praise His name. He's so good to me. I had a request to preach a sermon this morning on presumptuous sin. And when we go to the Word of the Lord, we find the story, or rather the record, concerning Nadab and Abihu. And you know what happened? These two men, and they were priests, and they were the sons of Aaron, the high priest. And they offered something to God that God did not want. He had not specified it. They failed to do what God wanted them to do. How many times are we like that? Do you think mankind today does the same thing? Well, let me suggest to you, my friends, in the questions, are we guilty of presumptuous sins? Nadab and Abihu offered this strange fire unto the Lord. We know who they were. And I'll tell you, one of the worst sins you can commit is the sin of presumption. Why do I say that? Because God tells us, don't you offer me anything unless I tell you what to offer me. One of the hardest things you'll ever do, and I'll ever do, and anybody will ever do, will truly worship God exactly as God has commanded, but God tells us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4:23-24. But did you know what? David, in the book of Psalms chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Here we have the demonstration of the great power of God's majestic building. Day unto day utter the speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lines is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a young strong man to run a race. He goeth forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The demonstration of the great majestic creation of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Then he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there's great reward. Why did I say that the sin of presumption is such a great, serious sin? Listen to the next verse. The Bible then says, who can understand his errors? And then David cries out and he says, cleanse thou me from secret faults, and then look. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Stop. Think about it. Nadab and Abihu, what have they just done? They'd offered something to God that he hadn't commanded. Why it was such a terrible thing? They had presumed that their way was better than God's. They had been guilty of the sin of presumption. Where do you find anywhere that God told them to do what they did? It's not there. When man does something for God and says, reality, God, this is a better way than your way. That's presumption. That, my friend, is presuming that your way is better than God's way. Look what he says. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Why? Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from. Did you notice that? The great transgression in action of the thee is not found in the original. And so, it's great transgression when someone presumes to do something for God. God has not authorized or does it in a way that God has not told him to do it. He's guilty. Guilty of what? He's guilty of presumptuous sin. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? They were struck down dead. Why? Fire from God came upon them. I know it didn't burn them all up because they're still in the coats whenever they're buried. Kind of like maybe a lightning stroke. What was their sin? It was presuming that they could offer God something that God had not authorized. Let me tell you, the world is full of people involved in religious acts that you don't find any of thus saith the Lord for it. That's presumption. And then the Bible says here, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Keep back thy servant. Lord, help us at O'Neill. Lord, help me as a preacher. Lord, help me as an elder. Help me as a deacon, as a teacher, as a member of the Lord's church to recognize how awful it is to be doing something or saying something for you that you did not authorize. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgression. Surely, my friend, when you look at the expressions found in the Bible, the word presumptuous carries with it the idea of a person or their behavior failing to observe the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. You have the words that are synonyms: brazen, overconfident, arrogant, bold, audacious, forward, familiar, impertinent, insolent, impotent, cocky, rude, impolite, uncivil, boisterous, sassy. All that says what? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God. That, my friend, is presumption. That, my friends, is serious. That, my friends, is something that will hurt you. The view it is assuming what you may want to hear or you presume to speak to on behalf of someone else, and especially with regards to God. Many presume, and I heard the lady the other day saying this. I can't believe it. Here's what she said. Well, a person may be pretty bad whenever they die, but you know what? I just think God's going to change his mind with regards to their destiny. God's such a God of love and kind and greatness and goodness. What she said just then, saying, just let everybody go out and do whatever they want to for God. You just do it your way. Just be honest, sincere in doing it. My friend, Nadab and Abihu did that. What happened to them? They were struck down dead. You don't tamper with the worship of God. Many people presume that God would change His mind at the judgment. Listen to this. The Bible tells us, the Bible teaches about God. In Malachi 3, verse 6, listen to it. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And look what Jesus said about Him in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. You think God's going to wink at something we do because of who we are without His authority? Pooh. It teaches that God is faithful, that He'll do exactly what He said He'd do. In Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, what a beautiful statement. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Did you hear it? God doesn't change. God is faithful. When we learn our lesson and not presume to do something that God has not spoken. Nadab and Abihu, they were struck down dead. The Bible teaches that God is love, and I know that. And I'm thankful for it. 1 John 4, verse 8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And some people presume that surely God would not punish someone who does not obey Him. But listen to what God says. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Then in Hebrews chapter 12, in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Now in the New Testament chapter 12, verse 29, For our God is a consuming fire. And I want to tell you what, God warns me and warns you and warns everybody, don't be caught up in His wrath. In Psalms 19, verse 11, the Bible says, By your teachings, Lord, I am warned. By obeying them, I am greatly rewarded. Why would God give us a book and tell us what to do and then just sit back and say, you just do what you want to? Can you not see the insult? Can you not see the presumptuousness of it? Can you not, when people are so sassy to God? Surely, we need to remember that God is so true, and He only accepts worship that is acceptable unto Him. There are a lot of catchy phrases I hear today, and I'm sure you do too. I'm sure you probably heard this same thing. Surely God would not punish someone for this sin or that sin. That's such a bad sin. After all, why would God punish him for that? You may have heard this expression, God did not say not to do it, so it's all right. How ridiculous. When I tell my children to go do something I want to do, don't do this and don't do the other. And then, well, it seems good to me. That's why I'm going to do it. Yep, you're going to do it, but why are you going to do it? Because you presume that it's all right. And what does God say about presumptuousness? That they that engage in presuming to speak for God or do something they think is better than what God says. Friend, they'll end up just like Nadab and Abihu. Woo, we know that God does not want anyone to perish. Why do we know that? 2 Peter 3 verse 9 tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us where not willing that any should perish, but there are going to be many that are perishing. Why? Because of the sin of presumption. They think what they do is all right with God. And we know that God wants everyone to repent. in Acts 17, 30 and 31. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And we know that God says that we must endure to the end to be saved. Revelation 2, verse 10 tells us that. Now, do you think all of a sudden that God in the day of judgment is going to just receive everybody that's just done what they wanted to do? And you hear people saying, you worship God the way you want to, and I worship God the way I want to. But the problem is, Nadab and Abihu had that attitude. That's what happened to them. No wonder we know that presumptuous sins will cause us to be lost. You know that, and I do too. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Why? That we be not guilty of great transgressions in God's sight. Don't be a daring person, a shameless and irreverent one. Don't take liberties. Remember to do only what God says in His precious Word. Don't rebel. Oh, when we go to the Word of God, friends, we look example after example. Cain. He made an offering to God, but God didn't accept it. Why? He presumed. This sin of presumptuous. The presumptuousness was that God would accept his offering like it is. But he didn't. He was separated from God. Moses spoke. The Bible says he presumed to say something that God didn't say. And Moses did not sanctify God. And in Numbers chapter 27 through 12, we remember that his punishment was God said, you'll not go into the promised land. And he didn't. We can turn to the one we just used, Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10. And what about the man that went out on the Sabbath day to pick up sticks? What happened to this man? The children of Israel got before God. And Moses came before the Lord and asked him, what should be done about this man? On the Sabbath day, God had said clearly, this is under the Old Testament, thou shalt do no work. Did God really mean that? You better believe He did. There was a man that went out on the Sabbath day and picked up sticks, as we find in Numbers 15, 30 through 36. And the question was brought by God. Before Moses, before God. What shall we do to him? God said, stone him to death. And can't you just imagine hearing somebody say, well, all he did was pick up sticks. But when did he do it? He exerted work on the Sabbath day, which God says is to be glorified to me, set aside for me. And under the old law, he received the punishment of being stoned to death. You know what? There was a man, all he did is take his hand. When the Ark of the Covenant, as they were carried in on a cart, which were not supposed to be done, but whenever they stumbled somewhat, Uzzah just put forth his hand to stay the Ark. Somebody said, you mean that little thing like that is going to... Yes, sir. He was struck down dead immediately. Why? God said, don't touch the Ark. Don't touch it. That's enough for me. He said, don't do it, don't do it. You see, this sin that people engage in today. Remember Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and the Lord said to me, say unto them, go not, go get up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear. What's he saying? I've talked to you, I've tried to advise you, I've tried to tell you. But you won't do it. So the Bible says, and you would not hear but rebel against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up into the hill. And what happened? They didn't win the battle because God was not with them. Three or four examples today and the lesson be yours. Number one, God says baptism is essential to salvation. What are we saying? You need and must be, if you're a sinner, to be baptized. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe it? Sure we do. And yet people come along and say, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. Who are you going to listen to? Somebody comes along and says, but I don't want to be immersed in that water. Just get a little water and pour it on me. Or sprinkle me with a little water. Let that be baptism. My friend, not sprinkling, not pouring. But baptism is a burial. And some presume to say, you can be baptized by sprinkling and pouring. When Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Presumptuousness. Then you hear people saying, oh, you can be saved by faith alone. You just believe that's all you have to do. However, when you go to the Word of God from James 2, verse 24, the Bible tells us that it's not by faith only. Specifies. Tells us what we are to do. There are people today who also say that they're all the saved are added to the Lord by His church, according to Acts chapter 2. But there are many today that presume, you can just pick out whichever church you want to go to. You can be a member of any church. You just choose the church of your choice. Let's see, where's that found? You find that in God's Word? When Nadab and Abihu, friends, they were destroyed because they offered something that God did not command them. They were presumptuous. And so many people today won't listen to God. You just pick out the church you want to be a member of. And yet God says, I have one body. And no wonder, sometimes people ask me, why don't you folks have a piano, an organ? Why don't you people use instruments of music unto worship, in worship unto God? I've got a good answer. My answer is, when God tells me to do it, I'll do it. God says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. He didn't say play. What did He say? He said, you do it with your heart, not up on the harp, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. A man presumes that his way is all right. David prayed to God and asked God to keep him from presumptuous sin. It's a dangerous thing. It's so dangerous, it can cause you to be lost. My friends, rebellion against God's will cause one to be lost. And when we fail to do what God wants us to do, we'll be just exactly like King Saul. He was rejected from being king, 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. He was rejected because he didn't do what God says. Someone has made this statement, and it was real interesting to me. The closer a man is to God, the more attention he is to pay to holiness and the glory of God. You know what that's saying? The more holy you want to be with God, draw near to Him. Do exactly what He wants you to do. Surely, there was one example of Nadab and Abihu who failed to do that. Yes, we need this warning. I do. I think we all do. May I suggest to you this morning that in all these warnings that we have, that God tells us, keep me back from presumptuous sins. Warning is needed for sins which we are so susceptible to. I have sins, like you have sins, that you and I know we have to be on guard about. Besetting sins that have set us apart, that will kill us if we give consent to them. Warning is needed for dangers that you and I cannot even see. Warning is needed for dangers we cannot appreciate. And warning is needed for dangers far off in the future. Why do we as older people, mothers and fathers, why are we trying to get our children to do what God wants them to do? Because we love them and we do not want them to fall. But number five, so often I have, and I'm sure you have, the warnings are often rejected. We just won't listen. In this beautiful song that we sing, Just As I Am, in our singing, they sung an additional phrase to that song. And when we were singing it that night, I never will forget, And listening to these additional words, I thought they were so appropriate. Listen to them. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am, just as I am, just as I am. Broken and want to be mended. Yes, presumptuous sins are sins that we're stubborn and rebellious and we don't do anything about them. We can be warned and warned and warned. How many young people last night probably got drunk, went out in the world, and some of them did some things that they'll have to suffer for the rest of their lives? Why? They didn't take the warning. They presumed that today would be just as it always is. But you know and I know, it's a sad and terrible thing to have to pay the consequences of being presumptuous. I was listening to a preacher preach this morning, and the congregation sung a song. You may have heard this song. I want you to think about it and listen to the words of it. It goes, "My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done? For an old heart like mine, soften it up with oil and with wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood." Think about those words. You and I, we can change. We can start saying, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it with all my heart, my soul. I'm not going to give up." And we can, as we come to the Lord and do His will, have that wonderful hope of someday living with God forevermore. In conclusion this morning, I love the Easters very much. And every so often, Glenda will hand me a card. She's typed up something that's encouraging, that it's uplifting, that gives you hope. And listen to what one of the last ones she gave to me said. "Live each day to the fullest. Give the most from each hour and each age of our life. Then we can come look forward with confidence and back without regrets." Oh, boy, that's a beautiful thought. "Be ourselves, but be our best self. Dare to be different and to follow our own star. Don't be afraid to be happy. Enjoy what is beautiful and love with all our hearts. Forget what we have done for others and remember what they have done for us. Disregard what we might think the world owes us and concentrate on what we owe the world. And when we are faced with a decision, make that decision as wisely as possible. And then forget it. The moments of absolute certainty never rise. There is no happiness which hope cannot promise. No difficulty which it cannot surmount. No grief which it cannot mitigate. Our greatest hope is for a home in heaven at the end of our road." Thinking of you in Christian love, Glendon and Glenn. That's it. God help us to keep us back from presumptuousness. Think we're all right when we're not. Doing what He wants rather than what we want. Let us be dedicated to it. Serving Him faithfully. Giving Him our all in all. And just as the Son says, "Lord, come just as I am. And do His will to become what He wants you to be." Presumptuous sins that we a lot of times We just presume we'd be all right. But unless we have God behind us, we cannot be pleasing to Him. That's why if you've never been baptized, won't you arise and be baptized for the remission of your sins this morning? Oh, we beg you. I'd come back there and walk with you if I could. I don't want anybody to be lost. Don't presume that God's going to say, oh, it's all right. What does He say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Are you a child of God, but you know in your heart that you haven't lived faithfully? You think God's going to say, oh, that's all right. It's okay when He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is standing right here with me. He's standing with us today. Jesus is inviting you. He's inviting me. He's inviting us all to come to Him. Won't you obey Him just as you are and come while together we stand?